You're listening to the Fix My Feet podcast. Solutions for every step in your journey with the nation's leading foot and ankle specialists.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Dr. Waters, Dr. Leonards with the Fix My Feet podcast. Glad to be here. How you doing, Dr. Leonards?
I'm doing great. Getting a little moisture today, so it's been nice.
Yeah. I thought we were going to have a tornado here last night, but there was no tornado. It didn't amount.
They're coming.
I did pack four cars into my garage, though, just to make sure like there's not going to be any issues there. So
the hail is the other scary thing. I'd rather have a tornado than hail, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially for my roof.
Well, I had an interesting case this week. I thought we'd kind of talk about it because it happens all the time in the foot and ankle world. And that is a guy dropped, I think, is an 80-pound weight on his big toe. But more particular than toe injuries, just crush injuries in general, which happen quite frequently in the foot. People drop cans out of cupboards. Something falls out of the fridge. I had one last year where a kid was deadlifting in his basement without his shoes on. Like, you know, just all these different kinds of crush injuries that happen where people drop stuff on their feet and end up with a multitude of problems and symptoms that come along with those kinds of injuries. So I guess start off, with at the top, I guess what from your side, Dr. Leonards, some of the significant things or things people should be aware of when they get these kind of crush injuries or something drops or falls on top of the foot.
Yeah, we could do a whole series on gravity versus the foot.
Yeah.
And, you know, knives and all sorts of things, lacerations. But yeah, specifically with crush injuries, I mean, super common. I'm sure everyone listening has done something similar, dropped something on the foot. Takes a second to register, and then that thing usually starts to hurt quite a bit. Biggest thing with crush injuries and just, you know, blunt force trauma injuries like that are the swelling associated with it. And so, I mean, you can have fractures. You can sometimes not. Sometimes they'll swell up and bruise like crazy, even with nothing broken, even with a bone bruise or something like that. But the biggest thing with these is they're going to swell. Most important things you can do are, you know, ice, elevate, treat it like any other acute injury. Anti-inflammatory medication, trying to keep things calm down a little bit. And I'm sure we'll get into it, but preventative stuff for these is really important. That's why we always talk so much about shoes and things like that, not only for walking and, you know, gait and ambulation and stability, but, you know, protect your feet from things coming down because they're usually the last stop before something hits the floor. And so if you're holding something, they're most likely going to get hit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, you make a good point. So one thing I think patients always, you know, I'll see them. And usually, you know what, we don't see them day one. It's like, I dropped something on my foot like 2 weeks ago, doc. It's still hurting, you know. And just like you said, it swells up. But the other thing I always try to help patients understand, and I don't know your thoughts on this, like when you drop something on your foot, yeah, you might hurt the bone. You might break the bone. I'd say more common than not, you don't break anything in your foot unless it's a toe. But you do damage to the nerves, the blood vessels, the tendons, ligaments, soft tissues, wherever that gets dropped at, as well as the bone. You can get deep bone bruising, which we'll talk about more in depth in a little bit. But those things cause symptoms in your feet. So with these crush injuries, it's not just a matter of healing the initial injury. You have to heal the damage to the nerves, you have to heal the damage to the blood vessels, and all of that takes time for it to happen. And so most commonly, patients will end up with prolonged symptoms, I'd say more from the nerves and stuff. And sometimes those can last, at least in my experience, several months after the initial onset of the injury while those things get better. Your thoughts about that, Dr. Leonards?
Yeah, for sure. And nerves are notoriously long to recover. So any kind of, you know, blunt force injury like that or, you know, chronic swelling from any source really, but especially from trauma like that is going to cause some prolonged nerve irritation. Sometimes it's difficult to distinguish nerve pain from other types of pain. So, you know, you might have a sharp pain. You're like, man, I really think I broke this thing. And like Dr. Waters mentioned, you know, it's possible you didn't. Majority of the time you don't, unless it's something super, super heavy. But those nerve type sensations can be pretty variable depending on the person. And so sometimes, yeah, it's obvious it's, you know, a burning sensation or feels like some like electric shocks, those kinds of things. But sometimes it's a sharp pain. Sometimes you can have numbness in an area from an impact like that, that damages a nerve that just doesn't recover. And there's a bunch of different types of nerve damage you can have where, you know, certain severities may or may not, you know, return back to normal or return back to a functional state. So you can have some, you know, residual long-term issues with these in terms of nerve injury and things like that, as well as, you know, damage to veins and things like that, that could cause some chronic swelling down the road because it's more difficult to get out of the foot. Sometimes ligaments, other soft tissue things are damaged in these injuries as well. So a lot of times it's just, you know, about clinical exam and patient's functional status and how they're kind of recovering. And if we need to do more, you know, evaluation or imaging down the road to see what else has been damaged.
Yeah, no, that's great. So that actually leads perfectly into the next thing I was thinking about. You know, I think patients always, you know, you drop something on your foot and they're like, do I need to go to the doctor? Do I not need to go to the doctor? Like, you know, what should I do? In your mind, you drop something on your foot. What is appropriate, you know, evaluation or next steps for those who are listening to us, you know, that they should take, you know, and when should they decide to go to the doctor and get tests and what you were just chatting about?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a couple things right off the bat, like, are you able to put weight on it right away? Are you able to not? You know, how much does it bruise? How much does it swell? Is your pain manageable, you know, through anti-inflammatories and, you know, elevation, icing, those types of things for you would do for any kind of an acute injury? And the duration of symptoms, right? Like, if it's been a month and everything still really hurts, you know, it's probably time to see somebody. And I probably wouldn't wait that long. But it's like we said, usually don't see people day one, because generally with, you know, injuries, when people stub things, when people drop things, if there's a cut, they usually come in a lot sooner than if it's just soft tissue swelling. And so usually after several days, I would think, you know, without something else going on, you should start to have some improvement. Now, that's not to say you won't have any residual, you know, nerve pain like we talked about, or any residual swelling or bruising, but you probably should see some positive signs of healing. I mean, if you're not, then that would be the time to go in and have it evaluated and seen.
Yeah, I agree. You know, a lot of these, you know, something glances off your foot, you know, I don't know that you need to come in if it starts to improve, just like you said. But, you know, if you get something non-improving, it's definitely time to come get seen and at least have some tests done, get an x-ray bare minimum. And then, you know, if there's other tests that need to be done, be evaluated accordingly. The other thing I say that's unique in the foot and ankle world versus other parts of the body is if you drop something on your foot, you have to walk on that foot. Like if you're going to keep moving, like, you now have to use this foot that's damaged, that has a deep bone bruise, potential stress, you know, reaction going on. And so one of the key things with these, sometimes they need adequate rest in order for the body to recover and repair. And you walking on it each day keeps causing more, you know, damage just from the wear and tear of walking and standing that happens. And so offloading becomes critical to allow the body to kind of catch back up and get back ahead of itself. And so a lot of times that's what's needed. And so that's where, you know, luckily today's day and age where they used to use crutches and keep you off a lot more, we use things like walking boots and braces. And there's some unique bracing on the market that allows us to, you know, still keep you weight bearing and walking, but also gives us the chance to mechanically take some of the load off of the foot and allow for the body to kind of catch up. So I think those are some of the things, modalities that may be necessary. With just, you know, a simple, pure, you know, crush, blunt force injury, nothing more complicated than that.
And to piggyback on that, like, it's, you know, when they have a swollen foot, it's tough to get it into a good shoe. Yeah. So a lot of times when I see these people come in and they're wearing, like, you know, a sandal. So, you know, see our flip-flop episode from the other day, but because they just can't fit it into another shoe.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're at that point, you know, either go see somebody, or they do have plenty of options, you know, online in terms of you know, walking boots and surgical shoes and stuff like that, just to give you some level of stability. But like you mentioned, I mean, you don't really know exactly what's going on. So you don't want to basically be walking barefoot on this injured foot in the meantime before you get it evaluated.
Yeah. And inevitably, if you do choose to just walk through it, you will start to compensate. So that's what's going to happen. It happens to every single person that has a hurt foot. The body's natural inclination and the neurologic stimulus is that we're not walking on that part of the foot. So you're going to change the way you walk, and then you're going to develop other fun stuff for us to take care of together. And those are compensatory injuries. And it is, could be as simple as you develop tendonitis, you know, because you got tendons working the way that they shouldn't work. And so if this it starts to prolong, I think evaluation is the best route at that point. And usually these are conservative treatment. Yeah, very rarely do these go on to any kind of surgical treatment. But that usually involves x-rays, tests, and then offloading to allow for things to improve and get better and then get you back better than ever once everything heals up. So a couple of complicating factors I think that we should talk about. I had this case come in just yesterday that's kind of interesting. What do you do, Dr. Leonards, if you drop something and it breaks the skin? And that's a little different scenario. Your thoughts on that and what somebody should be aware of if that's the case.
Breaking the skin, I mean, you're turning something that's a closed injury to an open injury, which always makes it a little bit more complicated. Whether or not it, you know, there's exposed soft tissue structures, but also if there is a fracture underlying that area, then you're worried about more of an open fracture versus something that's closed and sterile is not quite as much, you know, not quite as concerning from a you know, surgical standpoint, or at least an urgent evaluation standpoint. So those usually need to be evaluated to see the extent of the underlying damage so that they can be appropriately managed, whether that's just in the clinic setting or whether sometimes those require a trip to the OR in order to make sure that everything's clean and, you know, prevent any kind of a infection that's going to develop from those open injuries and when you have exposed structures underneath.
Yeah, well said. I mean, the biggest risk with open injuries is infection. And so those do absolutely warrant evaluation. And it could be as simple as wash out a little bit in the ER and get the laceration repaired. It could be more complicated, just like Dr. Leonard said, if there's a fractured bone underneath and the risk of a bone infection becomes more serious and more complicated that could require a trip to the operating room. So, you know, in a case that I had just yesterday, I think RPA Ashley saw it, but a gentleman had dropped, I think 80 pounds something on his big toe and ended up with a laceration of the big toe and had a fracture of the toe underneath. So that is by definition an open fracture and does require antibiotics for a period of time and also repair of the laceration. Something unique with blunt force trauma on toes, and I think maybe this warrants discussion, you know, that a lot of people, I see this quite frequently. I drop something on my toe, Dr. Leonards, and now the toenail is like black and blue. It's discolored. Do you want to kind of explain what that is and what, you know, what our thought process is when we see that kind of injury that comes into the clinic?
So really common to have like what's called a subungual hematoma underneath your nail. It's usually just some bleeding. It can be from like a partial detachment of the nail or just the crush, you know, injury itself. And so that's usually that kind of coagulated blood that builds up underneath the nail. Now, sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's not. If it's usually a specific size, roughly about half the nail plate, that usually warrants enough concern that we want to see if there's anything going on underneath, because the concern with these is that there's a laceration or a cut or a puncture wound to the nail bed. And if there is, there's not a lot of soft tissue there before you get to the tip of that bone. And so if you have a fracture there with extension into that nail bed, then again, we're talking about an open fracture scenario here. And, you know, nails are dirty. The nail bed is obviously dirty just inherently from toenails. And so they're very easily, you know, infected or riddled with complications unless they're appropriately managed, because you need to get that nail removed, have the area irrigated, you know, get x-rays, make sure what's going on with the fracture underneath, and get on an appropriate course of antibiotics.
Yeah, agreed. So don't be shocked if you go to the doc's office and they're like, we got to remove the toenail. Because I think sometimes, like, I get patients, what are you talking about? We got to remove the toenail. And we do need to inspect that for everything Dr. Leonard's just talked about. So that's always sometimes a little shocking, I think, for patients when they come in, when we deal with these kinds of injuries. worst crush injury I saw, this is several years ago, and this kind of will bridge us into like the what can I do to protect my feet kind of topic, but this is a young man, 18 years old, was working at a mine, and they were lowering, like, I don't know, it's like a 10 plus thousand pound pallet on a crane down into the mine, and it got lowered right onto the top of his foot, and so and it stayed there for a while. Eventually they got him out, but it had crushed the whole front part of his foot. And like we said, with these injuries, it's not just the injury to the bones. He had several fractures, of course, but the bigger injury to him was all the vascular injury that had ensued. So the blood flow injuries and the blood vessel injuries, and he ended up losing, you know, the front half of his foot after that kind of an injury, mostly because of the vascular injury that just turned gangrenous and black because all the blood vessels had ruptured and there was no consistent flow to the front of the foot anymore. And so I guess to me that just highlights what we're talking about, that these injuries are not just simple, you know, I dropped something on my foot. There's blood vessel injuries, there's nerve injuries, there's bone injuries. And there could be, if it's something sharp, you can easily lacerate a tendon on top of the foot. I've had that many times as well. You know, all those things need to be evaluated. So that's where I think what we've talked about, if something's going on prolonged more than a few days, it warrants evaluation with everything that could be going on there. So that was kind of an unfortunate case, but highlights some of the things that we talked about. So with that being said, obviously that I gave that story to say, hey, it's kind of important to protect your feet. Yeah. Your thoughts, Dr. Leonard's, on, you know, what patients can do from a preventative strategy to kind of help prevent from crush type injuries.
And just to circle back real quick, I think we should just at least mention the, you know, a lot of times with crush injuries, the worst outcome that you can have is called compartment syndrome, with these where everything swells so much that everything is starting to occlude the arteries, the veins, the nerves start to be damaged. And you can end up with, you know, some gangrenous changes to the foot. It's not a common sequela of these, but it does happen, especially in the foot, because of the small compartments and small fascial compartments in the foot. And there's many of them that can, you know, fill with fluid or blood and cause occlusion of the vessels and things like that. So usually when you're looking at these, main things to look out for are kind of, you know, worsening pain that's kind of, you know, within reason, out of proportion of the injury that you've had. If you start to notice color change in the foot in terms of like some whiteness, you know, blanching or some blue discoloration or things like that, where it's not that kind of normal red pink color, it starts to feel colder and you start to lose the sensation in your toes or your foot. All of those things, you know, can warrant a medical emergency technically, where we need to do a fasciotomy and open up those compartments to relieve the pressure. So that's something to look out for with these two. It's like I said, it's not super common with these, but with the severity of the crush, it can be part of the injury process that takes a few days to develop. So just something to look out for.
Well said there, for sure. That's definitely a critical complication of a severe crush injury, for sure. So, all right, preventative stuff.
Shoes. I mean, I think a lot of, I mean, you know, crush injuries, a lot of times for us, tend to be more blue collar worker type people who are in factory settings or things like that. And so, I mean, a lot of them already have protections in place that they can, in terms of like steel toed shoes and things like that, to help from crushing. Obviously it's probably not going to do a lot against, you know, thousands of tons of pressure coming down your foot, but at least, you know, from day to day stuff, it keeps you protected. But from other things, I mean, the more you're working with equipment, if you're working in your garage or you're doing things, you know, the whole topic on garage injuries, yeah, I'm sure as well, because it's a dangerous place for the, self-assured carpenter or metal, or just everybody's in there doing what they want to do, and sometimes without the proper shoe gear. So there's always a chance something could fall or drop on you. Make sure you've got something that's closed-toed. Obviously, a sandal's probably not going to be the best option for you. Not to say everybody needs steel-toed boots or something like that, but just some level of support so that you can absorb a little impact for your foot before it does some real damage.
Yeah, I think that's where we come into prevention. I agree. Workplaces, you know, they have a lot of things in place already. Like if you're in a workplace that is high probability for, you know, dropping on something, getting ran over, you know, they mandate steel-toed shoes, those kinds of things. The places I see it all the time, just like you said, is like the kid lifting weights in his garage or the guy working with a grinder in his garage and his flip-flops. I think that's one you and I did together. And those are the ones that, you know, where common sense prevention, I think, can go a long way. So just like Dr. Leonard said, you don't maybe have to have steel-toed shoes on, but you know, if you're woodworking in the garage or, you know, flip-flops are not your best idea there, you know, like having something substantial that could help, you know, something sharp falls, it's got to go through that first, at least before it gets to your foot. And likewise, if something real heavy falls, there's a little bit of there to protect the foot as well. But I think, you know, if you're the weightlifter, if you got a gym at home, put your shoes on, you know, like before you start lifting 45-pound plates and, you know, one might drop on your foot one day, you know, then those don't feel very good. So
be careful with that sumo deadlift. Yeah. It comes down pretty close to the foot. So
exactly.
Make sure you got something on.
Good. So yeah. So that's our thoughts about crush injuries. I know we're wrapping. We went a little bit long on this one, but wrapping things up. The one thing I think we didn't talk about, maybe we can close with that, is, you know, what is a stress injury to the bone? Maybe you don't break the bone in half, but commonly with these injuries, you end up with what's called a stress injury to the bone or blunt flow trauma to the bone. Deep bone bruise is what they're called in sports. You hear that all the time when guys knock knees with that blunt force of a knee hitting against the knee and they get these deep bone bruises. Your thoughts, maybe explanation of what that is, Dr. Leonard's, before we get off the podcast here.
Yes, you're not really fracturing the bone technically, but it's just, you know, and with these, you can also bleed. I mean, people always think, well, I bled, so it must have been a broken bone. And that's not always the case. But you tend to be damaging the blood vessels and the periosteal covering over the bone. You're damaging the you know, bone marrow and the central portion of the bone. And so all of those areas can bleed just with this blunt force trauma. It's the same reason you get a bruise on your skin from a baseball hitting you versus, you know, a knife hitting you, right? They're a different type of injury. Both can bruise and cause pain and, you know, swelling and recovery. And these also need a little bit of offloading because they can progress. You know, you have a weak point in the bone there now, and so they can progress to like a stress type fracture or something like that over time if they're not appropriately offloaded. So that's what we were mentioning before about, you know, make sure you get something to wear that's supportive, even if you're swollen, because just hopping around, you know, on one foot or walking around barefoot is still going to stress that area a lot.
Yeah, totally agree. So I think we've talked a lot about maybe some of the more complicated issues that can come from blunt force injuries. And as we hop off the podcast, I think the one thing that hopefully everybody takes away from this is if you're going to do something a little bit, you know, physical in nature, whether that's working on something and or working out, you know, make sure you wear something that's appropriate for the activity that you're about to undertake and try to prevent some of these things from happening. So, all right. Awesome. Anything else, Dr. Leonard, before we hop off here?
I think that's good. It was a good one.
That's a good one. Well, try to stay away from blunt force trauma. And until next time, this is Dr. Leonard, Dr. Waters. This is the Fix My Feet podcast. Check us out on all our social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And drop any comments you have. Look forward to next time. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Fix My Feet podcast. To schedule an appointment with one of our providers, visit www.brfootandankle.com.